Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the ReLove podcast. This is Pastor Seth Yolorda, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to this week's message. Our prayer is that it will leave you inspired, encouraged, and challenged as you grow higher in Christ. And I also just want to ask that if this message is a blessing to you, that you would take the time to share it, to send it to a friend, send it to a family member, so that they too can be blessed. Again, we thank you for taking the time to listen, and we pray that you are blessed. So I want to jump into the Word of God today, and we're going to be continuing the series that we just started, and we're talking about how we can go to the next level in several areas of our lives. And today I want to talk about just our personal walk with God. Next week, in honor of Valentine's Day, we are going to talk about relationships. And it's not just intimate sexual relationships, personal relationships, but just relationships in general. The week after that, we're going to talk about mental and emotional health and well-being. And so we have, I believe, certain topics throughout the rest of this month that would speak to each one of us, because I think all of us probably could do some growth, have some growth in our personal walk with God. Amen. I don't know if anyone in here that's experiencing a perfect relationship, but there's probably room for growth in that area as well. Amen. And then, does anyone have money that they want to give away, or you got your finances all together? We're going to talk about finances one of the weeks, and then just our emotional and mental health and how we can really live our best lives in Christ, mentally and emotionally. We're going to deal with that as well. And so today I want to talk about this idea of our own walk with God. I don't know, Sam, if you could turn me down a little bit, or it feels just a little loud in my ear. I don't know if you've ever read this book called The Five Love Languages. Has anyone ever read that one before? Oh, quite a few of you all. Did it bless you?
Yes.
Okay, good. Gary Chapman, he wrote this book called The Five Love Languages. And in this book, he really begins to pull back the layers of our marriages and our relationships and begin to expose why it is that some couples struggle in their relationships. It's not because they don't love each other. It's because they are fundamentally speaking a different language to each other. And so if my wife was, let's just say, Hispanic and she only spoke Spanish and I don't speak Spanish, as much as I might love her, we would have some communication challenges. And those challenges would boil up and result in difficulty in our relationship. Amen, somebody? Does that make sense? I think that's at the core of a lot of difficulty in relationships is communication. And so as I was thinking about this book this week and kind of reflecting on my own love language, I started thinking about, well, I wonder what God's love language is. Have you ever wondered that to yourself? Like how do we say I love you to God? Like, how do we know that we are speaking his language? And how does God like to show us love and speak to us concerning his love? And so I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about it this week, I started to say to myself, well, I'm sure God's love language, what God's love language is, probably depends on how we define the Christian life. Because if I define the Christian life as it's about me telling someone else about Jesus, then I would say that God's love language is probably random acts of kindness. If that's what it means to be a Christian, if being a Christian means I tell someone about Jesus and I let my light shine, if that's at the core of Christianity, then if I don't do that, if I don't tell someone about Jesus and I'm not letting my light shine, then I'm probably not speaking God's love language. Or if I believe at the core of my Christian experience is worshiping God, that's what it means to be a Christian, is that you worship God, then I would imagine that God's love language would probably be words of affirmation, right? If the Christian experience is all about worshiping God and singing songs and coming in here and lifting your hands or singing joyful songs to him, then the love language of God would probably be words of affirmation. He wants us to laud him with praises and affirmations. Or if I think that at the core of what it means to be a Christian is that I have to please God and satisfy God, then I would say that his love language is probably gifts, right? And that he's looking for me to bring gifts to him all of the time, whether it's tithe and offering gifts, or whether it's, what other gifts can we bring God? Maybe our lives. Maybe he wants us to give him our lives and surrender our lives. If I think that at the core of me being a Christian is about me pleasing God. And so how we view Christianity, I think, really would inform how we then communicate to God that we love him. And as I was wrestling with this week, I really started to just deal with this idea that I don't think God, the heart of Christianity and what it means to be a Christian is at its core about telling people about Jesus. Nor do I think that at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is to worship Jesus. Nor do I think that at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is to be pleasing to Jesus. I don't think that. In fact, the way as I'm reading through the Word of God and I'm studying this thing, I think that at its core, I would define what it means to be a Christian like this. And I want you to put this on the screen for me. That the Christian life at its core is an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be a Christian. And out of this comes worshiping him. And out of this comes pleasing him. And out of this comes, sharing and telling people about him. But at its core, if you strip away all of those things, this is how I would define and how I believe the Bible defines what it means to be a Christian. That it's not just about you believing and saying with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not just you pleading the blood of Jesus over your life. It's not just a confession that you make. But the Christian life is an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Amen. Ongoing relationship of intimacy. In fact, I want you to get it. So turn to the person next to you and say, the Christian life is an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Don't look at me. Look at the person next to you. The Christian life is an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. The Christian life is an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. And so I can come to church on Saturday and I can sing songs to Christ. But if I am not in an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ, then I am not experiencing the fullness of what it means to be a Christian. I can go out there and hand out tracts and pamphlets and tell people that Jesus is coming soon. But if I am not personally in an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ, then I am not experiencing the fullness of what it means to be a Christian. I can come and every week I can bring my tithe and my offering and I can give time and energy to God. But if I am not in an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ, I can sing about him and preach about him and share his message and tell people till I'm blue in the face about Christ. But if I am not in an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ, then I'm missing what it means to truly be a Christian. This is what it means to be a Christian. That you are in an ongoing, not a seasonal. You know, we have seasonal Christians. Easter time, we got a whole lot of seasonal Christians. Christmas times, we have a whole lot of seasonal Christians. We even have seasonal Christians when it comes to you got a promotion, so now you're in church. And your relationship is working out. So now you're singing praises to God. But when you go through hard times, God's nowhere to be found in your life. No, it is an ongoing through the good times and the bad times, through the highs and the lows, through the storms and the peaceful waters. It is an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be Christian. And out of this intimate relationship flows everything else. Everything else. This week on Thursday, my parents celebrated 49 years of marriage. Yeah. That's a long time. Anybody more than 49 in here? Anybody? Any marriage? More than 49 years? How many you got? Yeah, how many got? Woo! 53. Oh. You preaching now. Because that's exactly where I was going. For for those who are with us online, she says she's been married 53 years and it's been long and hard. And that is the reality of marriage, is that it is hard. And my parents will come and tell you that there have been some highs and there have been some lows. And if you've been married longer than what? 2 years? 2 days? If you've been married longer than 2 days, you'll realize that there are some highs and some lows in marriage. And that marriage is something that is not for the faint of heart. But I believe it is for spiritually mature individuals who are willing to look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, it's not you, it's me. How can I be better, do better, grow and develop and mature? And the reality is that not every marriage lasts. That's the reality of life. But when I think about our walk with God, I think there's some resemblance to that of marriage. The difference is that in with our relationship with God, that he doesn't get any better. He is as good as it's going to get. And in his goodness, he continues to just bear long with us. You see, your husband or your wife, they might cut you off after a while, right? They might say, okay, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It's funny because my wife, you know, when we got married, I love her. When we got married, she used to do the laundry. I'm still a little bitter about it. But then we had kids. And after we had kids, she said, they took your laundry spot. So now she does their laundry and my laundry is just out in the cold. I was like, I can't get a fold or nothing. I can't get a drop it in this. She's like, no, I do their laundry. You do your laundry. And you know, and that's the reality. And I'm okay with it. I've gotten better. I've gotten better. I've adjusted. I was like, okay, that's all right. That's all right. I'm not going to be bitter, right? For better or for no laundry, till death do us part, it's okay. But that's marriage. But with God, he continues to love on us over and over and over again. No matter who we are, how messed up we might be, or what our, you know, some of us are just funny, and, you know, God says, it doesn't matter who you are, he continues to draw us into this relationship. God says, I don't care what you've done, I don't care where you've been, I don't care how many partners you've had, or how many marriages you've had, or what you smoked, or what you've worn, or where you've gone, or who you've done whatever with, it does not matter, I want an intimate relationship with you. That is the gospel. And the devil's entire platform is to get us to break up with Jesus, because he knows that under no circumstance will Jesus break up with you. He's one of those survivors. He's like, listen, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. Every night I'm going to come, and every night I'm going to get back in the bed with you, and no matter how bad it is, I'm not going anywhere. And the devil says, okay, if I can't get Jesus to leave you, let me convince you to leave Jesus. That's his only ploy. And so he tries to convince us to leave Jesus by getting us caught up in things in life to discourage our heart, to maybe even to get us to misunderstand who God is. Maybe we're having some trouble in our personal marriage, and it's so discouraging that we think, God, how could you do this to me? And so we throw in the towel on God. And God's like, I didn't do anything. I haven't done anything to you, but loves you. This is what it means to be a Christian. That no matter how good it is, or how bad it is, every night I'm choosing to get back in bed with Jesus, because it is an ongoing relationship of intimacy. And this is what he tells us, that from this, everything that you need flows. So in John in chapter 15, our main text today, in verse 5, he says, and this is the NIV version, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Now catch the language here. He doesn't say, if I take you out, you're like a branch that withers. No, he says, if you choose not to remain in me, like I'm not going anywhere. You're the one who's leaving. He says, if you choose not to remain in me, this is what happens to you. You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. He says, but if you remain in me, if you choose to remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Go back to the main slide for me, Keith. The Christian life is an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just about believing Jesus. It is about remaining in Jesus. It's not just about saying something to God, but it is about remaining in God. It's not about just coming to church once a week or two or three times a month. It's not just about singing a song or bringing some of your tithe and offering. That's not what it's about. It's about remaining in Christ. And the way that God really characterizes and describes this remaining relationship is he says, I want to understand the nature of our relationship, that it's not just you are my servant and you serve me and I'm the master and you're my slave. He's like, no, that's not what it is. For if you keep reading in John 15, in verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends. Friends. He called us friends. God has called you his friend. And at the heart of this friendship, at the heart of this friendship, there is a call to abide. That's what he says in John 15 when he says, remain in me, and if my words remain in you, he's essentially saying, abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be granted to you. It's this essence where God is saying to you, listen, I want you to understand that I want you to abide in me. The Christian life, and Keith, I don't know if you have this one, but the Christian life, it's not a who. Excuse me, the Christian life is a who. It's not a what. The Christian life is a who. It's not a what. The Christian life is about you being in relationship with Jesus. And at the heart of that relationship, it means to abide. Do you know what abide means, or abide looks like? Abiding is just about hanging out with God and letting God hang out with you. That's what it means. In fact, George, could you come down for me real quick, George? Just real quick. Yeah. So I just want to demonstrate this real quick. So this is what at the heart of what it means. Just have a seat with me right here, brother. Like this is just at the heart of what it means to abide. Yeah, no cell phones. No television in front of us. We just. A little awkward. Christ says, listen, just hang out with me. You see, a lot of times when we come to Christ asking for things. And so if you really take an inventory of your life and your prayer life, I'm sure you're like me, like probably 80% of your prayer is like, yo, can I borrow your car? Dude, do you mind if I stay at the house tonight? Dude, well, what did Gabby cook for dinner? You mind if I come through? Like, can I borrow 20 from you? Like, how would you feel to be in a relationship with someone where all they were doing was asking you for things? It'd be a little rough. And after a while, you'd be like, when I would call him, he would not answer. Because the only thing he knows I want from his is his stuff. But God says, listen, I got stuff for you, but more important than the stuff is just be with me. When was the last time you just were being with Christ. You didn't ask him for anything. You didn't make any demands or have any questions, but you just said, God, I just want to hang out in your presence. I just want to be with you. Like husbands and wives who just kind of hang out and go to dinner or go to the movies or just go on a long car ride, and it may not even be saying anything, but you're just being with each other. This, I believe, is what God wants from us. Just be with me. This is at the heart of friendship. And the issue is, and Keith, I don't know if you can put the next one up there for me, but the issue is that the challenge to our faith today is not an issue of hedonism. The challenge to our the greatest threat to our faith today is not about hedonism. Hedonism is this over-compulsion for self and lust and to gratify my own desires. But the greatest threat to our faith today is distraction. Then we come into this relationship with Christ and we just sit down. The first thing we do is we pick up our phones. Or we have to turn on some music or something happens. In fact, I don't know if you watch YouTube at all, but there's a lot of times a commercial that comes up on YouTube. No, you can come closer. You can come closer. There's this commercial on YouTube that comes up whenever you're watching a video. And I don't know if you've ever seen those master classes. Have you ever seen those master class commercials where there's like, you know, if you want to learn how to become a film person or you want to learn how to become a chef, you know, Gordon Ramsay's on there. Like they have all these master class commercials that they're teaching. And I don't know who the lady is, but there's one commercial that always comes up whenever I watch YouTube. And she's apparently a famous author. She's written, I'm assuming, many books. And she says, the greatest threat to your creativity is not the greatest threat to you writing a book is not you having a lack of creativity. She says the greatest threat to you writing a book is distraction. It's not that you'll have writer's block. No, it's that you'll be so distracted with everything else that's going on in your world that you won't have the time to just focus on writing. And I would say the same is true, is that the greatest threat to our faith today is not that I'm going to be caught up with some lust or caught up in some vain pursuit. No, the greatest threat to my faith in Christ is just that I am so distracted. Whether it's through the NBA All-Star game that's coming up, and there's nothing wrong with that, or whether it's through the recent current events or the impeachment drama and saga, and there's nothing wrong with staying up with current events, but most of these things pose themselves as distractions to just abiding in Christ. We get chimes and dings and notifications from our phone all day long. That 30 years ago, at least 20 years ago, there was this thing called boredom. Does anyone remember boredom? Does anyone remember what it felt like to be bored? I read it recently in a book I was reading, and it was like, you know, 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, if you found yourself standing in line at the store, you just had to stand there. You couldn't pick out your phone and play Candy Crush. You couldn't check your email or check your Twitter. You just had to stand there. And all the extroverts would strike up a conversation with everyone else. And all the introverts would wonder why the extroverts are talking to them. And you just had to stand there. Or 20, 25 years ago, if you were on an airplane ride and you completed your book and there still was 2 hours left on the ride, you would just sit there and look out the window. You remember boredom? I don't hear kids saying, I mean, in fact, I don't think my kids have ever said, Daddy, I'm bored. Because there's always something for them to do. And for you and I, our phones and our devices have taken over this time called boredom. But I think boredom is a good thing. And I think we need to reintroduce it. We get reacquainted with boredom because it is in those boring moments that we can have moments with God. And we can invite God into that moment, and we can just say, God, just be with me right now. I was recently introduced to this concept, and I want to share it with you today. It's called extended personal communion. It's an EPC. extended personal communion. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down. An EPC, an extended personal communion, this is where you and God just spend time together. I went on a retreat through the conference a couple weeks ago, and they introduced this concept to us, and they said, okay, we were at Pine Springs Ranch, and we were there for a couple days, and they said, okay, we want to invite you to go on it, to have an EPC, extended personal communion, and they said, what we want you to do is just to go out and just spend 5 hours with God. And there's already no like self-service up there, right? And or if there is self-service, it's like super slow. So it's like you're refreshing, and nothing ever comes through. So that's borderline frustrating. But they said, you know what, just leave your phones and just go spend time with God. And if you want to go take a nap, that's fine. If you want to go down to the lake, that's fine. If you want to go on a nature walk, that's fine. Just go and connect with God. And as I was engaging in this EPC, I said to myself, God, how I know your church, my church, your people, we need this in our lives. Because most of us, our prayer life is super on the go. It's drive-by. It's real quick. The same way we can send in our Starbucks order and have it ready for us when we get there to pick it up. It's the same thing that we want to do with God. Just let me just send in a prayer real quick, God. And let me get my order right when I'm driving through. But God says, no. Just abide with me. Spend time with me. When was the last time you just spent time with God? Where you just said, you know what, hey, kids, I'm leaving. Don't call me, don't text me. I'll be back in a couple hours. Or maybe you just took a personal day off of work, or maybe it was a Sunday. You said, you know what, I got some time. I'm just going to go and I'm just going to get out in nature and just me and God. No sound, no music, no nothing, no distractions. I'm just going to take the word of God, not even the word of God on my phone. I'm actually going to take a Bible and I'm just going to get connected with God. What I want to challenge each of you all to do is every day, obviously, I think we should be spending time with God in our personal devotion. You should be getting up earlier and connecting with God. And it's not a command and it's not a law that you have to do, but I think it's just good for our relationship. But what I want to challenge you to do is that every month, at least once a month, that you take an extended personal communion day. Y'all look at me like, when would I do that? Sundays mornings, Sabbath after church, or whenever you feel you have the time. And if you have kids, you might say, okay, baby, today is my day, right? And I'll be back in a couple hours. And the next week, it's her day. And you have the kids while she goes out. And you just get out in nature. And it's just you and the word. Because this is at the heart of what God is saying. He's like, just be with me. Be with me. If you are with me and my word is with you, then you can ask whatever you want and I will grant it to you. And this is not like some name and claim it, some attempt to have a prosperity gospel, as much as it is to invite the peace of God and the love of God into our hearts. So I put it on my calendar. First Friday of March, I'm taking 4 hours and I'm just probably just going to drive up to Big Bear. Probably it's like 45 minutes, an hour from my house. And I'm just going to go for a walk with me and the word. And I'm just going to reflect on the word and let the word reflect on me. I might take a journal with me and just write down my thoughts. And what do I feel God is calling me to do? What is he saying to me in this moment? I'm not going to go with many requests because I don't want to make it about requests. I just want to be with him. Because he says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So this, I believe, is what God is calling us to do at the heart of our growth. It's not about a devotional book, which are good, but it's about connecting with God. That makes sense. Let me hear you say amen. And so about 6 months ago, I asked my daughter, because I want to be able to be a good parent and I want to understand who they are and what their needs are. And so I asked my daughter, I said, you know what, I want to kind of find out my daughter's love language. And so I and she, you know, 3 years old, what's your love language? She's three. She probably doesn't know. And I asked my five-year-old, the three-year-old was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Dad. So I asked my five-year-old and I asked Emily, I said, what's your love language? They still had no idea what I was talking about. So I asked them these questions. I said, okay, would you rather me buy you something as a surprise, or would you rather me give you a back rub? What do you think they said? Buy me something. Yes. I said, buy me something. I said, okay. So that's the standard. I said, would you rather me buy you something as a surprise or tell you that you're beautiful? What do you think they said? They said, buy me something, Daddy. Just keep the words to yourself. Just buy me something. I said, okay, that's the standard. I said, would you rather me buy you something as a surprise or would you rather me clean up your room for you? And you know which one I was pulling for, right? And they said, buy me something, Daddy. No, I'll clean up my room. You just keep buying me things, right? And so I said, okay, maybe their love language is gifts, right? Maybe their love language is gifts. They want me to buy them gifts. That's how I say I love you, which is fine. But then I said, okay, I got one more for you. I said, would you rather me buy you something as a surprise, or would you rather me go outside and play with you? And guess what they said? They said, oh, let's go outside and play. Which told me that my daughters spell love T-I-M-E. Time. And as I started to think about it, I said, wow, my kids spell love time. And that's why to all of my fathers out there who are working and busting their tail to provide for their kids, and even the mothers who are working their tail to provide for their kids, I, that's great. But understand that the thing that kids mostly want is your time. Like the big wheel trucks, the big wheels and the bicycles and all of the toys that you can get them. Like they love those, but they don't love them as much as they love just you hanging out with them. Because kids spell love T-I-M-E. And I think that God spells love T-I-M-E. Time. Put me in your schedule. Because I think he's saying, how can you love me if you don't spend time with me? And the reason why I think this is true, because in Matthew, the Bible gives us a record when Jesus comes again, he separates the sheep from the goats, and he says to the goats, depart from me. And the goats, the wicked are like, but God, we preached in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we did all these miracles in your name. They're essentially saying, but no, we gave you affirmation, God, and we did acts of service for you, God. And God's response to them is, depart from me, I don't know you. Yeah, you brought me gifts, and yeah, you said how good I was, but you never spent time with me. Time. Some of you are busy, and I know your kids, you have kids, or maybe you don't have kids, but you're still busy, and you're thinking, well, we're going to have time. And I think there's a lot more time in our days than what we naturally think there is. Because what I've started doing, and I'm so grateful for our 21-day fast, because one of the challenges that I embraced during the 21 days fast is I was going to get up between 4:30 and 5 a.m. every morning. I was like, there's no excuse. I'm going to get up between 4:30 and 5 every morning, and that's my God time. And I'm so grateful for that, because it started a new rhythm in my life that rather than being waking up by my daughter screaming that they want to get dressed and they want breakfast and they got to get ready for school, but I wake up and I can just spend an hour and a half just in the presence of God. Jesus spent time with the Father. And if Jesus needed to spend time with the Father, how much more do we need to spend time with the Father? Let me say it again. Jesus needed to spend time. Anyone on Jesus' level? Perfect? Any perfect people in the house? Jesus needed to spend time with the Father. And so do we. Some of us, though, and I'm almost done, some of us, though, as good Adventists, we think God spells love with O-B-E-Y. We think love is obey. So as long as I obey him, then that's love. And I think, you know, we can read the text, and I know there's certain texts that say, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll come to that conclusion. Some of us can come to that conclusion from the text. But even in the keeping of God's commandments, the keeping of the commandments that he's talking about is not doing things. It's really about loving people. He says, for a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And the way that we love one another is an outflow of the time that we spend with God. So if you are having a love problem in your life, I would probably suggest that you're having an abide problem in your life. Because when you abide with God, you will have no problem loving others. When you abide with God, you will have no problem loving others. Doesn't mean it will be easy, and doesn't mean you won't have to ask him to give you strength, but there's something that comes out of the overflow of your time with God. And so when you engage in EPC, and I'm going to start asking you all if you've had your EPCs this week and this month. When you engage in an EPC, extended period of communion, it is literally time out for your soul. It's time out for your soul. And so this is what the text says, and we're almost done. This is what the text says. I am the vine, John 15, and this is the Message version. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire to be burned. He says, if you remain in me and my words in you, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do the next one for me, the next one. The one down below. There it is. It starts off, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me, here it is. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. For anyone who separates from me is what? Dead wood gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. He says, but if you make yourself at home with me, he says, make yourself at home with me. And my words are at home in you. You can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Do you wouldn't know what it means to be at home with someone? Yeah, you invite someone over your house and they put their feet on your furniture. They feel at home with you, right? Or you invite someone over your house and they don't even ask you. They just go into your refrigerator and start drinking out your juice container. And don't let them just go ahead and take it straight to the dome. They're like, you're not even going to pour it in a glass. You're like, no, you ain't going to do that, right? Like, if I went over your house and just opened up your orange juice and just was like, oh, thank you, I don't need a cup, I'm good. And I just... You're like, oh, you real comfortable, huh? No, just go ahead and keep it. Just go ahead and keep it. I will be at home. I'm like, oh, no, you know, we good. I will be at home with you. He says, if you make yourself at home with me and my words at home with you, you can be sure whatever you ask. He then goes on to say, he says, this is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes and when you mature as my disciples. Make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commands, he says, for my joy might be joy and your whole maturity. He says, this is my command, love one another. This is the very best way. Put your life on line for your friends, for you are my friends. For I have made myself at home with my Father. Jesus made himself at home with his Father's love. And this is what being at home with God's love produces. It produces confidence. Confidence. So that you can just come into the presence of God and you know he's going to hear you. And that you can have boldness. boldness. This is why Paul says in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, therefore, seeing that we have such a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, he says, for we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He goes on and says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. When you are at home in God's love, and his love is at home in you, you have confidence that no matter what I'm going through, no matter how bad it might look on the outside, God is with me. This I know. So you want to go to the next level in Christ. You want to be able to overcome the challenges that you're facing. You want to be able to stand with firm and confidence. I want to invite you to abide with Christ. This week, maybe even today, take some time and be with Jesus. Be with him. Turn off your phones, turn off the television, forget about your to-do list, and just be with him. Now, when you do that, this is what's gonna happen. It happens to me often. I go into the presence of God, and the first thing that happens when I go into the presence of God is I think about all the things I have to do. Has it ever happened to anyone? You just have like this laundry list. Oh yeah, I gotta do this, and I gotta go, I forgot to get this from the grocery store, and I gotta call this person, and you step into the presence of God, and all of a sudden you are overwhelmed with all of these things. Why? Because we are naturally at this point in Earth's history, we are driven to get things done. We're not driven to just abide. So when we're doing nothing, it feels like we're wasting time and there's things that we should be doing. But he says, no, when that list comes up in the presence of God in your EPC time, just say, okay, let me get a piece of paper. Let me write down all those things so I don't forget them. And then let me set that list aside and let me just go back and spend some time with God. Don't try to start tackling them. That's a trap. Just write them down, get them off your heart, get them off your mind. Okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Okay, now let me go back. And retrain your mind to go back, to go back, to go back. And this is what I want you to do. Because what that list will do is that list will constantly be pulling you and tugging you out of your time with God. But I want you to stay in your time with God to the point where you do not want to leave. A lot of us, we go into our time with God thinking, okay, let me, I did my prayers. Okay, now I have to leave. I want you to stay there until you get to the point where you say, man, I don't want to leave this moment. This moment right here is so sweet. God, I don't want to leave. Oh God, stay with me. Stay with me. That is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. You are in an intimate relationship, an ongoing relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. So Spirit of the Living God, we invite you to create a longing in our hearts where we want nothing more than to just be with you. In your presence, not even to say anything, and even if we fall asleep, it's okay, but we just want to be with you, oh God. And so Lord, my prayer is that you would just create in each one of us a longing, a desire to open up that emptiness inside of us that only you can fill. And may we just set aside all of the desire, all of the obligations and responsibilities, and may we make Christ our number one priority. Just to abide. And so my prayer for you, and if you want to stand with me to say, yes, I want to abide this day. I want to renew my friendship with Jesus Christ. I want to be in this ongoing relationship with intimacy with Jesus. Father, we're standing because our hearts desire more than what we're currently experiencing. And God, we just want to abide in your presence. Not even to ask for anything, not even to complain about anything, but just to with you. Oh God, this is our prayer. This is like the psalmist who said, the Lord, he's my shepherd. He leads me behind by still waters. He leads me in green pastures. He restores my soul. God, as the deer pants for the water, so our souls long for you, oh God. That's what we desire. Lord, remove any distractions. Remove any frustrations or things that would inhibit us. And may we just this week, may we set aside time on our calendar, actually putting it on our calendar. This is my EPC time, my extended personal communion time with the Father. And I will step into and I will remain in an abiding relationship with God. And this is what it looks like, y'all. This is what it looks like. I pray, I read the word, I pray, I read the word, I reflect on the word, I pray, I reflect on the word, I pray, I reflect on the word, and it's just me and the word, and I'm remaining in Christ, and Christ's word is remaining in me, and at the end of that reflection and praying and reflection and praying, I just say, God, what are you saying to me? And God begins to speak clearly to me about what his word is for me in this moment right now. And it becomes something just so beautiful that you will then say to yourself, God, I don't want to leave this place. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. Lord, we want to be friends with you. Not your servant. Not a slave. Not someone who's just an errand boy or errand girl. No, we want to be friends, and you are calling us into friendship. So may we step in friendship and into the relationship that you have died to give us. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, let all the people of God say amen. Come on now, let all the people of God say amen.